Welcome to The Sovereign CEO, a podcast where we explore what it really means to become powerful beyond measure. Expect to hear incredible stories about possibility, creativity, business, self-mastery, and of course, the Great Awakening. I'm here to be your hype girl, to give you strategic tools that help you win, and to shed a light on things that you really need to know. Let's work on mastering your mindset and mastering your mission so you can build an empire, live a purpose-driven life, and create more freedom within it, no matter what the world around you is doing. All right, everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Sovereign CEO Podcast. I'm Carla Joy Treadway. I've got a great one lined up for you folks here today. Today I'm interviewing April Hutchinson. April is the women's deadlift record holder. She is a Team Canada powerlifter, and she was banned from her sport for standing up for women's rights, for stating biological facts, because as you know, we live in a clown world. So when April reached out and asked if we could have a conversation on the show, I said, absolutely. As the mother of two young girls, this is not something I can keep silent on. And the unfortunate thing is we have a whole lot of adults that disagree with the things that are going on, but they are too scared to voice their opinion because of cancel culture, and, you know, maybe real consequences too, but unfortunately, this is for the kids, and this is not the world that we want to create for them moving forward. So April has an incredible story, and I want you guys to hear it. The things that she has overcome from her childhood, it's a story to tell. You guys need to hear this. You know, her sport saved her. And now we have biological men just sweeping in to try and take this away from really hard-working women like April here. So, very interesting story today. I think you're going to align with April's mission here. Before we get into the show, I have to pay the bills. This episode is brought to you by The Sovereign CEO. The Sovereign CEO is my group coaching membership. How did I say it so weird? I'm not even going to re-record that. My group coaching membership for freedom-seeking entrepreneurs. Inside, I teach you all things business, digital marketing, and mindset mastery. So I'm a business coach by profession. Our container is unique. You know, I've been in a lot of different coaching programs. I've been in a lot of different workshops and masterminds and all the things. We do things different because one of the main things that I've noticed is we can give you all the strategy in the world. If you don't have your mind in check, if you don't believe that you can do this, if you are scared of money or putting yourself out there or actually owning what you want, claiming a financial goal, guys, all of this stuff is mindset. No amount of strategy will save you. Your business is mostly mindset. Then I'm going to teach you the strategy. Then I'm going to give you the tools, the templates, the very specific how-tos. I'm going to teach you all of it. All of it. Everyone inside is very, very cool, very awake. We have the Sovereign CEO Academy inside with fresh courses dropping each and every month. I coach in there live every single week, so you can come and bring your unique questions about your business. We bring in next level guests in all things self and business mastery. You gotta come in. It's the best. I mean, I wouldn't be talking about it every single episode if it wasn't the best. So check out the show notes. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at any time. And with that, let's get into this week's episode. I would love for you guys to meet April. All right, everyone, welcome to the Sovereign CEO Podcast. I'm Carla Joy Treadway, and I have with me today April Hutchinson. April, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Carla.
Your story is super important right now. We were just talking before we hit the record button especially in Canada, because Canadians are not hearing truthful, factual information on so many issues. For people that don't know you, you are a Team Canada power lifter. You got yourself into some hot water because you're standing up for the rights of female lifters and females in sports in general. For the people that don't know you, can you give them just a little bit of a backstory of what you're currently up to here?
Okay, sure. So, yeah, I'm a three-time Team Canada powerlifter, and I've been competing for a couple of years now. And then it was about 2 years ago that I discovered that a male, biological male, was competing in my powerlifting in the women's category. So I basically spoke up about it, and in doing so, I received a 2-year suspension from my federation. So basically, they kind of used their homemade policies in-house to try to silence me in the beginning when I spoke out about it. And that just made me speak out even more because I was like, well, no, this is completely unfair to women. So I spoke up even more and they threatened to take my Team Canada spot away. And then eventually they just said, nope, you're suspended for 2 years for basically. What got me suspended was basically going on the Piers Morgan uncensored and calling the male lifter a biological male on TV. And that's what got me suspended for facts.
Which is a that is a true statement. That's not a judgmental statement. That is not a rude or bi like that's actually just a fact.
Yeah, and like I've said this many times on, I don't know why it was that particular interview, because I have referred to the male-born lifter as a man on many interviews. Because when you're talking about sports specifically, even like a judge here in Canada ruled that Canada, even in Canada, we should be able to talk about whether in the justice system or anywhere else. If you're talking about biology, like, no one's hating on transgenders. We're talking about facts and biological facts, right? And in sports, bodies play sports, not identities. Identities should have nothing to do with sports. It's bodies against bodies. So when I was describing the person, of course, I had to say, well, he is a 250-pound male, 41 years old, like all these things, because even age has a bearing on how someone's going to perform, right? So.
Well, and men and women have always been separated in sport for this very reason.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to have a yoga and fitness studio, and there would be moves that I would practice for years that involved upper body strength, like arm balances and certain inversions. And I would practice and practice and practice. And then my husband, who never ever does yoga ever, never has been in the gym, he would just say, "Oh, you mean this?" And he would just like go and do it, the thing that I've been practicing forever.
Yeah.
And it's not that women can't do amazing things, we're just as capable, but like that was an example of just male strength. Like it's
Yeah,
unfair.
exactly. Well, yeah, you see even like federations, whether it's darts or even chess, actually implemented a policy because it's just at the end of the day, men will always have be bigger, better, stronger, faster, all these things, right? But also there's all these other different factors to it that, like, I think Riley Gaines just talked about it on Piers Morgan 2 days ago, was like, why do we have to share a locker room and a bathroom with a full-grown male? You know, it goes against, like what Riley said, it goes against her Christian beliefs. She's a married woman. Why does she have to see a man's genitalia or feel threatened? Why does she have to walk around naked in front of a man too, right? And not just that, the safety issues and also little girls, girls' sports, and just the unfairness of having to compete against men. We shouldn't have to be put in that position.
No, 100%. I mean, men and women are equal on a soul level. We're equal on a soul level, value, yes, but we are not the same. Let's go
Exactly.
back in time, because you've been an athlete for your whole life. I was listening to you and Zuby talk. I love that podcast as well. This isn't your first rodeo. You've been in sports your entire life. Can we go back to kind of what got you into sports to begin with?
Yeah, so I've always, I mean, since I was 5 years old, My father got me into, I remember waking me up at 6 in the morning when I was a little girl, going to power skating to learn how to skate. And then I got into playing ringette, always playing baseball. Even in public school, I was always taking home top trophy or the red ribbon for all those like track and field meets. And I was always very competitive at such a young age. And when I got to high school, I was always the captain of the basketball team, the tennis. I went to All Ontarios for tennis. So I was always sports always played a role, and I would always try to find a sport and would try to dominate it. I'd obsess with being the best, and then sometimes I'd move on to a different sport. But I don't know if you saw too, most of my life actually I battled alcoholism. So at a very young age I started drinking, and I actually used sports to help me deal with sexual trauma and for my abuse issues, right? That's basically why I started drinking, was because of sexual trauma that I experienced when I was a little girl. So sports really helped me kind of with all my, bad feelings or anxiety and depression. And then alcohol allowed me to escape, right? Any uncomfortable feelings. So if I didn't have sports in my life, I've said this many times, I would have died from my alcohol addiction. Luckily today I'm sober, and I did get sober. I'll have 5 years coming up in September, but sports literally saved my life. So that's why when this male powerlifter came into the women's category, I had a whole mix of emotions, especially fear, because I thought, oh wow, my sport, which has helped me stay sober, is now at jeopardy and could be taken away by having men basically come in and dominate, right? So it really affected me on a different level than, say, just the normal person, right? Like it was unfair, but it also was taking away something that literally has helped save my life.
It's amazing, first of all, that you were able to get through that experience and maintain your career in sports while managing alcoholism. That's wild.
Well, I said this all the time. I'm like, I probably would have been to the Olympics 10 times over, because you imagine what I did as a functioning alcoholic, and if I didn't have drinking in my life, where I could be today. But I'm very blessed. I'm very grateful for where I am today in my life. So that's good too. So I'm happy.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. This man you had a prior relationship with, you were in communication with him before. What happened there?
Yeah, so I actually was powerlifting during COVID. There was no competitions to be had. I had never competed before. I literally just trained in my friend's garage while COVID was happening, because we didn't have anything else to do, right? So I got super strong. When I came out, I hit nationals. I got gold medal. I went to worlds that year. But during COVID, I was friends with Anne online. Basically, Anne's the biological male. And we would chit chat back and forth on Facebook, just kind of talking about powerlifting and sports. And one day we were talking about Laura Hubbard, who was the male that went into the women's Olympic lifting for the Olympics. I forget which year it was, maybe 2021-ish. And we were chatting about it, and I said, "Oh my God, I can't believe they let a man go through to the Olympics." I'm like, "He's like, this is completely unfair." And Anne said, "Well, I'm a male, don't you?" And I said, "I had no idea, Anne. Like, how am I supposed to know that?" And he's like, "Yeah, I transitioned after 20." And I said, "Well, how far do you expect to go with powerlifting?" And he said, "Well, I'd like to go as far as I can, like nationals to the worlds." And I said, "Anne, you should not be doing that. It's completely unfair to females. And if you do, I will speak up about it." And so after that, he blocked and deleted me, and haven't spoken to him since. But I did reach out to the Federation, not right after I found out, because I actually had to sit with it for a little while. And this was my turning point, was after I sat with it, I didn't feel good going to bed at night, and I actually couldn't sleep because it was bothering me so much. Because, hey, I have integrity, I have, like, I believe in fairness. And to me, I just didn't feel comfortable holding it in. I felt like I was like a dirty secret. So I actually ended up writing my federation about it. And I was literally the only person that knew this information. So it was a really hard time for me, because I was literally by myself. And when I started speaking out, I got some hate, and I got people that used to hate and call me a bigot back in March, but now they're actually seeing what's been happening this last year and now support me. So it's been such a huge turn of events. And just, I guess, at the time I was alone, it was okay to do that. I mean, it was very hard on my mental health, but I'm really glad I spoke up because, wow, I can't believe the changes that's happened since I have. Like, I had the policy changed because I did use my voice, right? So that's major.
This is new to the last few years, because before, if someone was trans and we didn't hear about it 24/7 on every single platform, but if someone was trans, it was almost like a new category. So you have male, you have female, you have trans. I've actually interviewed quite a few members of the trans community on the podcast here, and I have great relationships with them. And everyone that is doing really well in life, mentally, physically, they all are kind of on the same belief set that I know I'm not a biological male or a biological female. I'm trans. I know that. And they're like, I never wanted to talk about it. I never wanted to air it. And they even go so far as calling it a psychological condition. These are their words. It's a psychological condition that I have. Transitioning saved my life. And they're all really great, reasonable people. And they say the same things. Like, if we want respect, we also have to give women respect or men respect, depending on what side you're on.
And that's so true what you said there, because I have a friend who's transgender, and I know many trans athletes, but it is deemed a mental disorder, right? But and no one's knocking people for when you say that's a mental disorder, right? Because I have a mental illness. I have actually a medical condition. I have alcoholism. That's actually deemed a medical condition, right? So, and I use powerlifting to help me with my mental health, just like a trans athlete would use it for their mental health. But the unfortunate part is yes, the transgenders that I know in my life that just want to live their life, they just want to, transitioning did ha like help them. A lot of them are like, you know what? I know that I have this mental condition. I know that. And a lot of them say, look it, if like there's one, Buck Angel at all? He it's a yeah, he love her. And she said that if she went into a bathroom and someone has a problem with it, she backs out, right? And also if she went into sports and someone had a problem with it, she backs out. And that's the right thing to do. So you have this minor, and I call Buck a she because that's my belief, right? So, and she knows that too. Even though she has a beard. It was funny when I first met Buck, I was like, what? And we're such good friends. I'm actually going to meet Buck in Los Angeles this summer.
Oh, awesome.
So when I say that, I don't mean any disrespect. She knows all about my pronoun usage and what my beliefs are. And I don't go against my beliefs, and I don't believe in pronouns. I think it's enabling people, so I'm just not going there. But
I like Buck's Trampa.
yeah. Honestly, what a sweetheart. Like, I'm so excited to meet Buck. But that's the way a majority think. And it's too bad that you have this small, minuscule minority amount of men that literally, I talked about this with, Tammy Peterson, Jordan Peterson's wife. She has a podcast, and I was speaking with her. And I said, you have this small minority that just want to dominate. They want to dominate women, and it's misogynistic, it's narcissism, and it's just a small amount. But Anne is one of them, unfortunately. And when they don't get their way, they get violent, they get unhinged, and they get abusive. Like Anne has given me sent out death threats to myself and Premier Daniel Smith. Like he didn't get his way. He made threats, and I do believe now he's. I don't think he's lifting anymore now. I think maybe he is potentially getting suspended for that. But it's unfortunate that those minority that the minor amount of people. Kind of like hijack the rest and make them all look bad. And that's the sad part because I'll tell you, I'm a huge supporter of LGB community, always have. Always will. And a lot of them are even saying like, hey, we don't want the tea involved because, you know, it's almost like they're being hijacked. And it's but not by all, just by this minor, loud, like abusive part, you know?
Well, what we're doing in 2024 is we are obsessing about the identity and we're protecting different identity groups. And we say, if you belong to this particular identity, you have carte blanche to do whatever you want. So if you happen to critique a behavior, you're not actually critiquing the behavior, like going online and threatening your safety. You're actually attacking not only the trans community, but every single person that identifies within the gay community as well, which is such bullshit.
It
No
is.
one is free from judgment. No one is free from critiquing a behavior. It doesn't matter your skin color, your religion, your race, your sexuality. We all will get criticized for bad behavior. And we've forgotten that about anyone that is trans at the moment.
Yeah. No, it's true. Well, it's like me. Like I was debating with someone the other day, and it's just like I get told that I'm hateful because I want fairness. Like they call me, I'm hateful, literally because I'm asking for fairness. So, you know, I get judged all the time too, right? Like I get like, I mean, people call me. I remember when I first spoke out, and people were calling me a bigot. And I was so hurt. I was literally, it really affected me, and I couldn't handle it because I was like, I'm not a bigot. Like, I am such a loving, compassionate person. Like, honestly, and I was like, I'm literally just saying, like, I want fair sports. And it's just like, you know, but again, it's just another word that people will use to kind of shut you down or shut you up, you know. So I kind of had to learn to have it roll off my back, right? So.
Well, and the best part about extremists weaponizing language in this way is eventually words just lose their meaning. So I have been called a racist, white supremacist Nazi by my prime minister for not getting a vaccine. You know, once you've been called a Nazi, I can't imagine another name that someone could call me at this point that would ruffle my feathers because he already said the very worst thing. So that's. They played their cards in the wrong direction.
Yeah, well, and what I'm doing now too is just like I'm reversing it. It's quite humorous. I'm like, well, you hate women. Like, I'll actually call a woman a bigot because I'm like, obviously you hate women because you're supporting that man. Like, you know, like I reverse
Yeah.
it,
Yeah.
and it's and people call me a TERF all the time too, right? And at first I was like, what's a TERF? And then my friend's like, well, it means trans exclusionary radical feminist. And she goes, basically, April, do you think that men should be in women's jails? So I was like, no. She goes, do you think men should be in women's shelters? No. Do you think men should be in women's sports or locker rooms? I said, no. She goes, then you're a TERF. I was like, okay, I guess I'm a TERF. Like, you know,
Why
so.
can't there be a third thing? Why can't there be a third washroom or a third league in sports or
That's
like a
exactly what I
third donut?
said. And that's the problem. And I said this again on this other show was why we've been asking for a separate category, but a lot of them, like we made that with swimming, didn't show up. No transgender showed up. They made a category for them. Same with strongman. I had the Strongman Corporation change their policy to make a separate category for there was a male competing that was going to nationals. They changed it to a separate category, and he at first was all happy about it, thinking, oh, I'll be number one automatically. But then 2 weeks later, he started threatening me, making threats, saying it was all my fault. He's like, I can't wait to piss beside all the women when I'm there. Like, just gross, like, disgusting words. And he got suspended for making threats. And again, it's that small minority that act like that, right? They just get angry, they just want to dominate and stuff like that. But my problem is exactly what you said. Here in my city, there's a couple of restaurants that took away the women's bathroom. And I was like, well, where's my bathroom? And they're like, oh, it's unisex. And I was like, well, I don't feel comfortable going into the washroom with a man. And I definitely don't feel comfortable sending my 6-year-old niece in with a man. So bring back my effing bathroom. And like, you know what I mean? And I'm pretty outspoken about that. And there needs to be options. You just don't take away women's rights to appease trans rights. That's what's happening. Yeah.
Have you ever seen it the other way around? Are there biological women trying to strong arm themselves into men's sports?
Honestly, Carla, the only incidents where I can remember in history was back when I was in high school. There was a girl in my high school that was really good at hockey. She was playing girls hockey, and we had a boys high school hockey team, and she got to play for a couple games. That's the only time I've ever seen it. I've never heard about it in the world for other sports. It wouldn't make sense because they would lose, right? So, and that's why men go into women's sports, because they could be number one. And like in the States, they're taking thousands of dollars of prize money. Like you get
Yeah.
sponsors and prize money. And like even here in Canada, like when you win the best female lifter, which Anne won 4 times, you get money. Like you get things, right? So, yeah.
That's like me identifying as a 5-year-old and then joining a team sport and then just dominating, like playing soccer, pushing them all over, and then winning and taking the trophy home.
Well, no, and that's why, again, that's why we have, that's why for powerlifting, I'm in my 40s, right? So I compete against people in their 40s. So if a junior wanted to move up and just kill the 40-year-olds, they why not? Because they're allowing, now if they don't care about separating categories, why not start doing that? But that's what's happening. Like even in Ontario, we have that man who identifies, I mean, I don't know if he identified as a 13-year-old girl, but he is now competing. He's a York University professor, and he goes into the little girls' change room and changes with the girls. The parents have to put up towels around their little girls, and he goes and competes against the 13-year-olds. Like, because guess what? Canada allows it because of Bill C-16. Like, they can do whatever they want. The police arrest Rebel News for going and try to do a story on it, and the guy gets protection. So,
There's another thing that's happening in Canada and in particular that's causing maybe more extremists. You know, when I talk to people like Buck that has had a successful transition as an adult, he said the reason that he's doing well is that A, he had therapy for at least a decade before he transitioned. And that was back when we had real therapy, not affirmation therapy, which is my opinion,
yeah.
not therapy at all, just agreeing with someone. So we had real therapy. And he said, and no one pushed this on me as a child. So he had a lot of time to work through the things that he needed to work through. And then says, transitioning did save my life as an adult. But we have a whole lot of people now that are transitioning as children or transitioning without the proper mental health supports, only affirmation therapy, and are quickly being put on hormone therapy and different drugs, which definitely alter your mental state too.
Yeah, no, and exactly. And no, I say that all the time. Like, and again, that goes back to my whole why I don't use pronouns is because it's not my job to affirm people. Like, it's not your job, Carla. It's not my job to affirm or to validate someone. And I guess my treatment in rehab and working on myself, because trust me, I had really low self-esteem growing up. I probably had body dysphoria as well, you know. What a lot of women have body dysphoria, and I never seeked it from other people. You're always told you need to, whether you have to stand in front of that mirror every day and tell yourself you're so beautiful or whatever you want to hear, you can't get that. You can't expect that, your self-worth and your self-love and your self-acceptance from other people. And that's why I will not give in to using the pronouns. I'll use pronouns if I have to in my job because it's a policy for sure. You know what I mean? I've never had to, but I definitely would respect that. You know what I mean? But as far as if I'm talking about stuff, I just try not to enable that, right? So, and it goes against my belief system as well. So, but no, like when I was a little girl growing up, I was a tomboy. I actually, after my sexual abuse, I actually turned myself into a little boy on purpose because I thought if I'm a little boy, no men will ever touch me again. So I spent from age 6 up into 8 with my hair cut, wearing a little boy bathing suit, acting like a boy, playing with boy things. And I once I hit puberty and I started developing, That's when I started drinking because I felt so uncomfortable and I thought men were going to start attacking me and wanting to be with me sexually because I was getting little breasts and I was becoming a woman. And like even just getting my period, I thought I was such a dirty, dirty person and I was so ashamed. And I thought, oh my God, I'm a woman. Men are going to want me. Now, do you imagine how many kids nowadays that have gone through sexual trauma or just their environment growing up? And then all of a sudden, the government or the parents are like, oh my God, quick, take them to the doctors. We need to get them on gender affirming. That's so scary.
So scary. No, if you were going through that now in 2024, there's a really high likelihood that you would be funneled into a transition of some sort. And we're seeing, I think it's a 400% increase in girls transitioning in particular. And then what's the treatment if they do go on hormones? It's testosterone. So you have kids that are anxious dealing with real life problems, and then you give them testosterone, which makes everybody feel better. Like testosterone would feel great. And they think, oh, I feel better. And this must be why I'm actually meant to be a boy, but it's actually the pharmaceutical that you're on that's making you feel a certain way.
Yeah, no, exactly. And as we know too, testosterone also makes you very aggressive.
Yes. So as a power lifter in your sport, now you can't inject testosterone to compete, right?
No, I can't even like even now with my age, like I'm in my 40s, if I wanted like say if I went into menopause or something, if I wanted to take hormones, I would have to get an exemption. Like I would literally have to write my federation and say, hey, I'm thinking about taking this. My doctors prescribe it. Can I still lift? Is it okay? And sometimes you can't. You don't get a pass. But meanwhile, yeah, men can just enter full-blown, like even if they take puberty blockers or they take estrogen. I mean, it still doesn't, again, I talk about this all the time. It doesn't take away the muscle mass, like your bone structure, your hands, even your hand size and your pelvis. Like there's so many biological differences, right? So women are not a hormone level. We are more than that. And also a lot of policies, even the Olympic policy, IOC needs to change that because testosterone monitoring means nothing nowadays. It's just, you know what I mean? It's first of all, the amount is so high. Like anyone, like my boyfriend could, you know, go on steroids and then come down from it and then his test just crashes, then he could enter and be a woman. Like it's just, you know. And they just have to do cheek swabs. Like at the end of the day, just swab people's cheeks. If you're XY, you compete with XY. It's pretty simple. Like, yeah.
I studied a ton of biology and kinesiology when I had my studio, and even the bone structure of
Yeah.
women and men. Men are broader, their hip structure is completely different, and it gives them more power and strength.
Power. Yeah, exactly. I posted a picture of that the other day. I was like, when people dig up bones, they're gonna know if you're male or female just by your bone structure and predominantly the pelvis. And I know in my sport, that's where a lot of my power comes from, is my hips and my pelvis for sure. So.
Yeah. So you've been trying to raise awareness. You've been on Tucker Carlson. You've been on Piers Morgan. You're really getting your voice out there. Is that changing anything, though, for your suspension?
Well, it didn't change my suspension, but using my voice literally helped change the policy. So last year when I was on Tucker, the policy in my federation, so at the Canadian Powerlifting Union, the policy, there wasn't a policy. Basically, any man could walk in and compete in the women's category, no questions asked. That's it. And that's what happened. So Anne went in. We also had like a guy, Team Canada powerlifter, Avi Silverberg, a big burly bearded man walked in on purpose into the women's category and took the bench press record as a joke to show how stupid. Like, and he actually took it away from the transgender that Anne. So it was kind of funny. But Anne actually holds three out of the five records in Alberta right now, currently for the women's category. And Avi Silverberg still has the bench press. So I'm hoping now with Danielle Smith, because I am working with Danielle Smith and her advisor. I'll be having lunch with him in 2 weeks' time when I'm in Edmonton. And because he's been asking for input, because we're helping them kind of mold the legislation, which will be coming out in October for the female sports. And part of the plan I'm hoping to is get those records stripped from Anne and given right back to the rightful female owner. So, but anyways, I did get suspended, as we know. But since I did speak up, I got a lawyer involved. I appealed my suspension. It got reduced to a year. And also, which, whatever, I was kind of expecting that because it's kind of like a middle of the road. I was obviously given 2 years. They split it by 1 year because they're probably like, well, we can make the CPU happy. We can make April happy. We're not going to get sued or something. So, but they did, the international governing body who I was pressuring all this year basically told my federation that you have to follow the international transgender policy, which means any trans athlete that wants to compete internationally, say for Team Canada, or goes to a qualifier here in Canada to make it for Team Canada, has to do monitoring of testosterone for a matter of 1 year and keep being monitored. And also, they have to submit their psychological and medical records. So that's the clincher right there, is because Anne didn't have psychological records to submit. Like, he didn't submit those, so he failed. He doesn't get to go through to any national, like, Team Canada events. So that's what's important, because like I said, a lot of men could pass the testosterone monitoring, right? But the psychological and the medical records are what's important, because you literally need a diagnosis from a doctor, or else you could have any male grifter just walk in, pretend to be a man, and go steal prize money or go to the Olympics. Like, you know what I mean? So it's a little stricter. It's not a perfect policy, but Anne can't get through. Anne can lift at a local meet. If Anne wants to lift at a local meet, do I agree with that? I don't. It's still taking a podium spot away from a female. But, I'm still going to continue to work on it. And I'm hoping that Ontario will follow Alberta, hopefully someday. I don't have much faith in Doug Ford, but we'll see.
I wish we
I
had
just have to
someone.
say, he's just a coward. Like, honestly, I don't have, I met him in person back in October. And he said he supported me. He's like, I have three daughters. They're all in sports, and I totally agree with you, April. And I was like, okay, good. So use your voice then. And I haven't heard anything.
No,
So,
we need someone like Daniel Smith in Ontario. We're in trouble.
yeah, exactly. Are you in Alberta?
I'm in Ontario. I'm in
Oh, you.
Kenora.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're north. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
so far from you though. Like it's 24 hours, I think, from the GTA.
Have to take a plane.
Yeah, or a very, very long drive. Very long.
Like the Polar Bear Express.
Yeah.
Right? Oh boy.
Oh man, well, is it just me? It seems like the tides are very slowly changing. Like, for example, I'll get on a Zoom lately and I'll see maybe one person with pronouns. Like it seems like it's shifting. It's still not there, but like you said, when you started speaking out though, that was really
Oh,
shaky ground. That was a scary time because all you have to do to brainwash people is repeat things enough times. So the trans women are women, trans women are women, and everyone just got up in arms with that without ever actually looking at things like biology. Does it feel like the tide is turning
yeah.
now?
No, I think they are. I say this all the time, like that things are changing. You have, look at Riley Gaines is suing now. With the 16 other athletes, I'm still pursuing possibly a lawsuit against my federation. But no, and it's just exactly what you said. I just keep pushing it out there. That's why I sell like my T-shirts that says "Keep female sports female with the two X chromosomes." If I have a discussion with someone, like I like to have meaningful conversations. I don't shut people down because they have a different view. I mean, if you want to think that trans women are women, great, but that to me, or I mean, it's fact that that's not true. Or I'll say, like, okay, in no time in history has a man ever become a woman, and vice versa, and it will never happen. And like, you know what I mean? So usually that just kind of shuts them up. But no, I just see a lot of things changing. A lot more people are speaking out, and even just from like last year, it was kind of like a taboo thing. Like even I posted something on Facebook, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, what is she posting? Is that transphobic?" And then I post something like today about that weightlifter that just won the gold medal there, and I got like 40 people already like posting it or reposting it and commenting, and people are have had enough.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just me. I could care less if I ever powerlift again. But guess what? I have two nieces to look after, and that's what I care about, is that they have their sport when they grow up and go into schools. And this needs to happen at a public school level as well. Girls and boys need to be taught how different they are, and they should not be. I mean, if you're doing a co-ed game, that's different. But when it comes to sport teams and you have a girls team, you don't let little Ralphie over because Ralphie needs validation and he's feeling uncomfortable in his own skin. No, that's up to the parents to take him to therapy, and that's up to the school board. You know what I mean? So.
And we certainly don't want a situation like you mentioned in the pool. That's disturbing, where you not only have, like, it's not a little boy in with the little girls, it's a full grown man in with the little girls. That's so disturbing that Canada lets that happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I go back to Bill C-16. It's not even just the sports. We need to say no to men and boys and girls, and we need to say no to men in women's spaces, period. Because once we let the floodgates open for one area, which it could be sports, then you see what's happening at Planet Fitness. And you see this recent guy I just saw was at the aquatic center in BC that went and was a pedophile, convicted pedophile, was in there watching little girls dress. Because we don't want to hurt some man's feelings and say, "Hey, no, sorry, you're a man. Stay out of the washroom. I don't want you seeing my naked little girl." No, like that's people and parents need to speak up. That's another part of the problem is men, fathers need to be like speaking up. I mean, mothers need to stop being so, I mean, females in general need to stop being so nurturing and so tolerant because by nature, that's who we are. So we're always like, "Well, I don't want to hurt that guy's feelings," and like we're just like that by nature. And I think it's a beautiful thing that we're like that. You can love people, but you can also have boundaries. You can accept people, but you need to implement boundaries, and that's the most important key.
We shouldn't tolerate everything. We're in
No.
a very weird time and space now where nothing is moral. And of course, we have different ideas of what is right or wrong. We all have different religions and faiths, for example, but they're trying to erase, like, that there's nothing that's off the table. You want to go be a prostitute? No problem. You want to have, like, gangbangs? No problem. You want to do
Yeah.
cocaine? Amounts of drugs, like, no problem. Here, we'll even like give you, like, there's nothing on the table that's wrong, even to the point where I think this is where this is going, where we're also going to eliminate like the age of consent. And
Yeah.
that's a very, very scary thought.
Well, no, and just that. And I mean, now with like protecting even pedophiles, like the new map, like they don't call them pedophiles, they call them minor attracted persons. Like they're trying to normalize that. And be like, "Oh no, they're just mentally ill, just like, it's a condition." Well, it's sick. Like, honestly, it's just, I mean, I could get into a whole other realm of things why I think this agenda is out there. To me, it has a lot to do with obviously pedophilia and sex trafficking and money in the higher uppers. So,
Transhumanism too.
yeah.
That's a thing. We're getting people used to manipulating their bodies.
Yeah, no, exactly. But and at the end of the day though, I'm a huge person. I mean, there's a when I go to Alcoholics Anonymous, there's a expression that we always use is, live and let live. And that's great. There's a great Aerosmith. Is it Aerosmith song Live and Let Live or something? Or Live and Let Die? No, I'm thinking of something different. But no, I could care less what people do in their private lives or who they want to be, but when it comes down to like safety of others, whether it's a man going into a little girl's change room or fairness in sports or trying to control people and trying to try to dominate and then try to shut people down because they don't agree with you. That's where I get, obviously very outspoken. So.
Bingo, we've moved past you need to accept me to you need to let me dominate you. Also, you need to believe me. So, like
Yes.
accepting someone as who they are and believing what they believe are two very different things. And we're being forced to falsely believe, like say that, oh,
Yeah.
I agree with you. We're like, no, we don't.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's what I said in one of my speeches. I said, I refuse to lie. I like it's like you. Would you like to lie to your spouse every day? Like keep a little lie or him, like it doesn't make you feel good inside, right? So me, when I found out about Anne, I felt like I was holding the secret. And then even just in general, people say, well, April, trans women are women. I'm like, well, no, they're not. Like, don't tell me to call them a woman because that's me lying. And that's not good for my integrity. And my integrity, I mean, my sobriety is all about leading a good life of integrity and honesty. So if I start lying to myself every day, I would surely relapse, whether it's lying about this or keeping a secret from my spouse, or yeah, it's about character. It's a character, right? So,
You have an event coming up with my buddy Sean Newman here. Tell us about that.
oh, Sean? Okay. Yeah, he's cool. I was on his podcast last year and he said, oh, I want to fly you out sometime to do a live show. So I was like, great. And then he actually interviewed Linda Blade, who is also amazing. So yeah, we're going out there April 12th to do his podcast, and then we're doing a function at night, something to do with kids. I think it's gonna be like an audience there, kind of like a question answer session. So yeah, and then I think that same weekend I'm meeting with Danielle Smith's advisor for lunch, and then I'm also having dinner with, do you know the Olympic skater Jamie Sel, whatever.
Soleil, yes.
Play. I knew
Yeah.
it was French. I knew it was French. Yeah, I'm having dinner with her. I get to meet her. I was on her show too. So I was like, oh man, I love her so much. So yeah.
Great. Well, it sounds like, yeah, the tide is turning. People want to hear this. They want to protect their little girls. I think a lot
Yeah.
of people, there's a lot of nice people just trying to be good Canadians who probably thought in the beginning that this, like, oh, yeah, it's not a big deal. Like, it's okay. Trans people can participate in women's sports. But we know too much now. Like, just watching
Yeah.
men absolutely dominate the sports that don't have the
Yeah.
same even training as like the women do. It's so obvious that things need to change and we need to protect this.
Yeah. I said this all along. I actually talked to Buck about this, and Buck agreed too, was if I was trans, like a transgender, I would literally, and I said, too bad that Anne couldn't embrace this and just be like, you know what? Be a role model. Start your own federation or be a spokesperson and twist it and make it a positive experience and actually go, okay, cool. You know what? I'm going to start my own separate category. Or I'm going to, I mean, you can sell your own t-shirts. You could be a positive role model for trans kids getting into sports. You know what I mean? That's how I would do it. I mean, that's what I do in my life anyways. When I'm shelved, am I given a shitty hand? I roll with it and I make, I mean, make the best of it, right? So it's just unfortunate. And I mean, another thing that I'm very outspoken about too is that, when I do talk about fairness, it does really get under my skin when people, I literally will just say, hey, we need fairness, we need to protect women and girls, and they will jump to the extreme and say, well, you want the genocide of trans people. And I was like, that also needs to get like, when someone says that, that's a pretty serious accusation, but it also shows their insecurity as well, right? So, but I mean, you really need to, I like to talk to people about that because again, I mean, I care too much about what people think, but I also think it's a lot of misinformation. But unfortunately, again, you have to blame Justin Trudeau for that.
Yes.
So,
Yeah, he's manipulating this community for political gain. Well, and
yeah.
what people don't understand is there is not a rise in like trans attacks and trans violence.
No. Yeah.
The trans genocide that they're talking about is just dead naming someone. So if
Yes.
you're a biological male and you're still using their male name, that That is the genocide by not referring to them by their female name or using the correct pronouns. When, sticks and stones, names
Yeah.
are not, words are not violence.
No. Well, apparently with the new Bill C-63 though coming out,
God,
if it
I'm going
gets
to
passed.
jail. You're going to
Yeah.
jail, too. We're both going to jail under
We're both
that.
going. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see Luca Magnotta there. He's going to the women's prison now, so like, you know what I mean? So
What's wild is when you have a trans person actually commit a physical act of violence, though. So, like, this
yeah.
man verbally threatened you, but we had that gun shooting in the States, for example. Man, to watch the media do mental Olympics around avoiding the fact that that shooter was trans,
Yeah.
wild to see. So it's like if we're gonna actually like call things out, then we got to call it out for everyone as well.
Well, yeah, and that's why I find it funny. I mean, it's not funny, but like the amount of shootings that have happened even just the last year, I mean, a couple of them were by trans, right? And the that non-binary child next, I think she was or he, she was from Oklahoma or something, but when Next passed away, it came out that obviously Next died because Next was bullied in the bathroom, right? And they really spun it around to be like, oh my God, it's all the transphobia, blah blah blah. Well then and then Anne, the male in my powerlifter, was blaming me and Danielle Smith for the death of Next. They're like, see, it's all your fault why non-binary and trans kids are dying. Like literally, I don't know if you've seen that viral post. It's crazy. But then all of a sudden the next day it came out, well, no, Next was actually the bullier and the bully and the instigator of it. And Next actually committed suicide that night. I mean, which is super sad, but
It's really sad.
they spun it around, right, to make it look like it was transphobia, that it was like bullying, but it was really the other way. So, but that's sad. And you know, and that makes me upset because, you know, I feel bad for any, obviously the poor kid didn't get the therapy, right? So, you know, you don't want to hear that at any time anyone committing suicide. I mean, so yeah.
The hard, honest truth that no one is talking about is this is a psychological condition that is very, very hard on the person. And trans people deserve love and respect in the same way that every other human does. Now, if someone genuinely is trans, like Buck, lifelong therapy, work through all the problems. No, like this is me. I am trans. Like they just deserve love and respect.
Yeah.
But what no one's saying is it's also not something to be encouraged. We're encouraging it, promoting it, putting it up on a pedestal right now. Why shouldn't we be promoting it? Because it's an existential crisis and you will need lifelong therapy. This will not be an easy road. It will never be easy. It will never feel good. Transitioning doesn't necessarily make all the problems go away either.
Yeah.
So to pretend like it is an easy thing or a good thing can really do a lot of harm to a lot of people. And that's what we're doing now. It's promoted.
It's true. It is promoted and at a young age too. And like I said, from my personal story, the reason why I got into drinking was because if I didn't get into my alcohol addiction, maybe I would have. I mean, they didn't have this kind of back then when I grew up, right? But the reason why I got through my uncomfortable feelings and my sexual trauma was because I got to drink booze, right? But I also had sports. So now you have kids that come into these families that are maybe not well off, or they're not that active. And you know, you don't see it anywhere. Like the government's promoting hormones, but the government's not promoting, hey, get your kid into sports. Hey, there's good therapy routes. You know what I mean? It's just like it's an easy fix. And again, I think it's a bigger agenda there because due to money and stuff like that. But yeah, it's sad. And you know, you have platforms like on social media and TikTok and all these other places that, I mean, it really exploded during COVID. This whole, oh, I want to be a cat. Oh, I want to be this because I don't like who I am today and I don't like the way I feel. So, and then it's like, It's like the what's that called? The more people that talk about suicide in the media, the more people that are going to commit suicide. You know what I mean? So it's just,
Oh, 100%. And I'm going to
yeah.
circle back to something briefly that you said at the beginning that's really important. When you were going through your healing and when you were going through Alcoholics Anonymous, they had you focus on the fact that you are responsible for you. You need to love you. You need to stop pointing fingers at your past, at other
Yep.
people around you. I've been a coach for over 14 years now, and that's what we teach, radical personal responsibility. If someone comes to me and they're complaining about their husband, their husband is doing this, that, or the other thing, the only thing that I get them to put their focus on is, what can you do to change? How do you need to change your
Yeah.
mindset, your actions? And what we're doing now is the complete opposite. We're putting our fingers on everyone around us. You need to treat me this way. You need to see me this way. You need to
Yeah.
identify me this way. It's outsourcing all personal power. People are not healing. They're getting more dysregulated, more anxious, more depressed, because that is has never been and never will be your answer to healing, is forcing and controlling everyone around you
Yeah.
to behave a certain way so you can feel comfortable. That is a recipe for disaster, and it always will be.
Yeah, no, and I agree because and that's why it comes back to women. How I get so upset with women because we're so nurturing and we are caregivers, right? So that's going to work on a lot of women when people go, well, it's their fault. They're like, okay, yeah, no, just that's right, it's their fault. But then if you start controlling people, guess what's happened? Then you have the other side, people get really mad. I know when I'm told to do something, I rebel and I get very angry, right? So take me and my brother, right? We both had the same upbringing, same parents and stuff like that. So, I mean, my mom passed away when I was 25. I was really close. It made my drinking probably even worse, right? Like I probably was using drinking to get over the loss and the grief, right? But what's different between him and I is that I went to rehab and I got therapy. I worked on myself for 30 days. I journaled. I worked with a psychiatrist. I found out all the things that make me tick. What makes me feel sad? What angers me? What kind of self-forgiveness do I have to do? And I worked on all that. And no, and that's my biggest thing right now is that my brother might say, oh, well, I'm this because of that. I'm like, well, I had the same mother. I had the same father. Like, you can't point your finger around and say you're like this because of this circumstance because we grew up in the same place, right? But I worked out all my stuff, right? And the thing is now too many people are playing the victim. They're always the victim, victim, victim. And it's true. I'll go back to that. Like, no one can make me. I know if I'm having a crappy day, I gotta sort that out within myself. Because I know if I start blaming my boyfriend and this and that, like I'm the first to say, crap, I'm feeling down today because you know what? I probably shouldn't have ate that large pizza last night. And now I just feel a little like fluffy. Now I'm gonna have to really kill it at the gym. And I'm so mad at myself, but I'm mad at myself because I'm the one that I don't blame pizza, you know, for that. Like, so, and again, your self-worth. Like I didn't have any self-worth when I was drinking, right? And now I have self-worth and I have self-love, and that comes from me. I don't get that. Sure, I like compliments like any other person, but I really do get it from me. And that's by doing good deeds for people, helping the community. You know, my mom always said, if you're feeling crappy, go out and help someone because you're gonna get, you know, it's gonna make you feel good and it'll get you out of your head so that you're not focused on yourself. Like there's so many ways you can do this. You don't even need to go see a psychiatrist, like, you know. So
Last question here. What would be the best solution that you can see for protecting women in sports? Is it doing these recurring like tests? Is it a complete different category for trans athletes?
well, I mean, in a perfect world, I would love to, yeah. I mean, a separate category. Every sport globally should just be, you know what? If you have to cheek swab and do a test, a chromosome test, and it's XY, I mean, it should just be males against males, females against females. That's the way across the board, every sport. It doesn't matter whether it comes down to checkers up to weightlifting. It should be males against males. And if there's that minor percentile that has, you know, when they, because they're always like, well, what about intersex? I'm like, then you still go in the separate category. You know what I mean? But we've never come across that instance anyways. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you have XY chromosomes, you need to be with the XY chromosomes.
Yeah, it sounds pretty simple.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you've transitioned before or after puberty. It's just the way it should be. It's the way it's always been, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense in my brain.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing this work. I'm excited to see what happens after Sean's event and your talks with Daniel Smith. And hopefully, it just gets easier and easier and more people jump on this bandwagon to support you.
Yeah, no, I think it, again, I think more and more people are supporting. I feel like I have an army behind me now, whereas before I felt very alone. But I mean, it's just been so overwhelming. Like I just spoke at International Women's Day, and there was about 300 people there. It was just awesome. Like I got a standing ovation. It was like my first speech ever, and it was just awesome. Like, yeah, and I think I found my calling, which is, it's funny how I found powerlifting through my sobriety, but now I found my voice to be an advocate for women's rights and fairness, and I love that. So that's, yeah. And I actually am in the works of doing my first book, so that'll be coming out this year too. So it'll be a mix of like overcoming addiction and just my whole life and then to where I am now. So
That's amazing. Well, I can't wait for that to come out.
yeah, should be good.
April, where can people find you if they want to learn more?
So the main place to go would be my website. It's literally my name, www.abrilhutchinson.com. And there you can find all my links. Like my Twitter link will be there, my Instagram, my YouTube. You can also see all my media interviews, like my one with Tucker and Piers Morgan. This one will be added to my website as well. And there's also a store, like I started about 2 months ago, but it's been doing really, really well for Keep Female Sports Female merchandise. So there's like t-shirts and hoodies, water bottles, duffel bags, and we just released a spring line with new like pastel colors and tank tops and hats. And yeah, it's pretty dope.
Amazing. Well, I really appreciate your time here. Keep me posted. We should bring you back in a little bit and just see what has materialized in the next little bit.
I'd love that. Well, I can't say I'm going to meet you in person because I don't think I'll be up in Kenora.
I travel around a lot. It sounds like we have a lot of the same friends and circles, so
Yeah,
maybe I'll see you at an event here soon.
I would like that. That would be really cool. Yeah. It's been a
Awesome.
pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, same here. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
All right, everyone. I hope you like today's episode. If you like what we're doing over here on the Sovereign CEO, please consider hitting the subscribe button or sharing this episode to your stories. It helps us a lot. See you next time.